Please be seated. And will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts spark inspiration, warm our hearts, and lead us to healings we may not have imagined. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's hard for me to imagine living in a place with no doctors. Here in Boston, we are lucky to have some of the very best hospitals in the world all around us, not to mention the practitioners and the clinics, everything from neurologists to podiatrists. In fact, we have so many doctors, we may have more doctors than Dunkin' Donuts. Hard to imagine. But in Jesus's time, things were different. There may have been a few herbalists, and certainly the king may have had a medical advisor, but for most people, there was no such thing as a doctor, just some home-brewed remedies and a very short life expectancy. That's why most of today's story takes place amidst a throng of people, a vast crowd, all seeking out healing. You see, word had spread about Jesus and about his remarkable ability to heal. Leprosy, he can heal it. Withered hand, he can heal it. Blindness, he can heal it. Can't catch any fish and your mother-in-law is sick, he can heal it. He can heal it all. So everyone is following him and trying to just reach out and get to this man and touch him and just get a little bit of that special something that he has. This is probably why he has to climb a mountainside to get a little bit of peace and quiet for prayer and to greet the disciples. He calls them each by name and calls them to be his apostles. And as soon as he does call them, he brings them down off the mountainside onto the plain, the level plain, where the masses have assembled. You see, he wants to share with the disciples what their work will be about. We've been talking for the last few weeks about call stories, and a call story is also a kind of initiation, an entrance into a larger experience of transformation. The disciples have left behind everything they had, and they will soon be called on to do amazing things. But before they can get to the business of transforming the world, Jesus knows they need to transform their worldview. Now, I will be honest with you, God works in mysterious ways. My very favorite passage to preach on just happens to be from Luke 6, but it's next week's reading. Next week, you'll hear such gems as turn the other cheek and love your enemies, things that became the foundation for nonviolent direct action. These are the words that inspired Gandhi and King and movements across the world. This is the call to action of Jesus' first sermon to his followers. It's exciting stuff. It has to wait for next week. So before we can get from that mountaintop moment of the call of the disciples to the mountaintop apex of Jesus' call on their life, their call to action, we have to descend for a moment onto the level plain amidst the throng to learn a thing or two about healing. There's a great multitude of people from all over the place, not just Judea, but non-Jews from as far away as Tyre and Sidon, as far as many of these people can even imagine. That's the end of the earth. All in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. All of them were healed. What an opening illustration for this table-flipping, world-altering sermon that will come next. In fact, because this phrase, he healed them all, lies between the active hands-on healing and the words of the sermon, we might come to think that the sermon in itself does a lot of healing work. For those people who were not close enough to touch Jesus, maybe not even see him, they could hear his words and be healed. And these words have passed down to us so that this healing may may even be available to us in Boston in 2019. When Jesus heals, what he offers is not just a cure from disease. Jesus offers true healing, wholeness. If you look at the stories of Jesus healing people, he doesn't just get rid of their ailment. He brings them back into community. He helps them find their dignity, their value, their place, their purpose. It is a holistic vision of what it means to be healthy. Do you know that the root words for health, wholeness, and holy are the same? To be healthy is to be whole, is to be holy. But healing looks very different for different people. In fact, for some, it looks less like a blessing and more like a curse. But more about that in a moment. So Jesus begins to preach, and he looks the disciples in the eyes. It's not just the 12 apostles, but all of the disciples who had gathered there. He looks them in his eyes and says, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." It's as if a lightning bolt has shot out and sparked across the sky. You can feel the electricity in the air. You can sense the importance of these words, never spoken before. Blessed are the poor. For surely in that time, everyone thought it was the rich who were blessed. No one had ever said this. In the Hebrew Bible, it was clear that those who were rich and were full, who had the cattle and the camels, who had the luxury and all the time and the fullness of their lives, these were the blessed. With enough money to buy a home and pay the bills and take a vacation every year. Still now today, the rich are thought to be smarter and quicker emotionally and intellectually sharper and always able to land on their feet. That's what it is to be blessed, surely. But Jesus turns that all on its ear. Jesus turns everything upside down and inside out. Imagine how it must have felt to be a poor person with no recognized value to society, no sense of security, someone that the world is constantly spitting on, to be told that right here and now, yours is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God cannot be taken away from you. No one can repossess your claim on the kingdom of God. No storm can destroy, no fire consume, no empire steal your kingdom of God. Your dignity is restored, your security assured. You are the rich one, and you have a treasure that no one can take from you. Jesus brings healing that announces a world turned on its head, that sees the value in people, no matter their economic status, that values commitments and stories and love and bravery above social standing or bountiful crops or the flashiest new Mercedes in the driveway. Jesus brings a blessing of healing to the poor, empowering those who feel they have nothing to give with a renewed vision of their own value. But this healing, this wholeness, it's complex, because while it includes comfort, it also includes challenge. The poor are told, yes, you have gifts that are beyond monetary value, and God is going to need those gifts. And those who are hungry now, who literally do not have enough to eat, who cannot consume enough nutrients to carry out the work that God calls them to, you will be fed. And not just fed, but filled. The pain of your hunger, the fear and panic about where to find the next morsel, these are healed in the promise of Jesus that you will be filled with the bread of life. Strengthened, empowered, to do the important kingdom-building work that comes next. The healing is comfort and challenge. Jesus goes on to offer healing to those who weep, not that he will take away all sadness and grief, but that this weeping will mean something, that God sees us in the depths of our despair and is moved by compassion. As John put it in his sermon last week, God needs your heartache. That's part of the call. And God will need your laughter, too. The fourth healing blessing is for you when people hate you, when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of Jesus. I pray that you've never known what it is to be hated, excluded, reviled, or persecuted because of your faith. But know this, don't you let those haters convince you that you are ugly or mean or wrong. Don't let those small-minded people tell you that what you believe is pointless or false. As Nancy put it in her sermon, if you want to know whether you're standing in the counsel of God, if you're on the side of what's right, take a look around. If everyone cheers every word you say and loves you so much, you're probably doing it wrong. If you're ruffling a few feathers and making people nervous, that's when you know you're standing with God. That's when you're in the best company. The healing Jesus offers the disciples is assurance that when they are persecuted, it's likely because they're standing in the counsel of God. And then we get to the woes. You know, I'm someone who believes we're supposed to insert ourselves into the scripture passage and see what it says for us in our lives, and to do that with this passage makes me a little uncomfortable. For I know that while I may feel a bit poorer when the mortgage payment comes out, I am wealthy beyond imagining compared to much of the world. I've also eaten my fill today. And while I've ruffled a few feathers in my time, I certainly have never been persecuted for my faith. I'd certainly rather throw my lot in with the blesseds at the first part of this message. But if I'm honest, I know that Jesus calls me to take an especially close look at the second half, at the woes. Jesus offers healing to those who are rich. A healing that helps reorient our view and understanding of riches, of the value we place on others, of the blessings that we have in our own hands and how we might use them to create a more level plane. If we have truly received our consolation, our satisfaction here on earth, through our material wealth, if that's all there is to strive towards, then surely we are lost. But if we can continue working for the consolation of all creation, then we are healed from our greed and materialism. And those who are full? Well, if you're full, you have no openness to anything else. Maybe Jesus's message of healing for those who are full is a healing that calls for mindfulness about what we consume. Mindfulness about how we waste, how we use the things we consume to fill in parts of our lives that we could possibly fill and satisfy in other more life-giving, spirit-filled ways, to allow room for openness to God and the transformation of the Spirit. And for those who are spoken well about, perhaps true healing for us is to be called out, for the people pleaser to become the God pleaser, for the person who goes along to get along to stand up for what's right but unpopular. Sometimes the healing that you need is to have a mirror held up in front of you. Jesus's healing gives us just what we need. The disciples too needed something. A better understanding of their purpose, an ego check. Remember, he brought them off the mountain and down onto the plain. They need a clearer understanding. that while they are the ones now called to do this miraculous healing work, that they will also be receiving healing. They are the healers and the healed. Why at this point is Jesus making it clear that his community, his followers, will be made up of people who have sought out and received healing? Well, biology teaches us that when a broken bone heals, it comes back stronger. So too for the followers of Jesus. Jesus helps us recognize our own need for healing, makes that healing possible in ways we might not have imagined, and helps us to grow stronger through that healing. If we can face our own brokenness and vulnerability with bravery and hope, then we are made ready to face the brokenness and vulnerability of the world and bring our own healing hands to it. Amen.